It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
There's the thing.
The thing.
You want to talk about chickens some more?
Is there? No. I wasn't really talking about chickens.
No, just one. Chicken.
It wasn't.
Chicken.
Whatever.
Chicken. Hello. And welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast considered a form of torture in Canada, but nowhere else.
Well, the UN's thinking about...
Yeah, but officially, we're still cool.
That, I know, but I'm pretty sure that the UN's going to take Canada's side on this one.
I wouldn't
for one thing,
blame
I think the Russians are going to take the of Canada's side, so that's probably part of what's going to make it go over the top.
And then we're going to invade Syria for playing our podcast. Or we're going to have John Kerry say, well, we won't invade Syria if they hand over the podcast, but they'll never do that, and then see what happens. Anyway, I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 132, I believe.
And for those of you just now joining us, we're not nearly as political as we sound. We have a hat. It's magic. It has its own email address. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Once again, that email is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People like yourselves email the hat with little questions, comments, topics, things like that, little tidbits for the hat. And the hat magically transmogrifies those emails all on its own into little note cards that manifest physically inside the hat, and we draw them out at random, read them, talk about them till we're bored. That's the whole show.
Yeah, all we do is show up and look in the hat, and there they are.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't.
And some elaborate recording equipment, but that. Yeah.
But we don't know what we're going to draw beforehand. We don't talk about it beforehand. We don't edit the podcast in any way. We don't rehearse or anything. Which, if you listen long enough, you'll
notice.
You'll notice. Yeah, it's
real fast. Like if you've listened this far, you'll notice. I love. I did the checking my watch gesture. Which is doubly good because this is audio and because I haven't worn a watch on my wrist in 15, 20 years.
Oh, gosh.
Like, come on.
It's been longer than that for me. I don't remember. I mean,
it's like that XKCD comic they had recently where somebody says, may the force be with you. And they say, what does that mean? And somebody says, I don't know. It's something my grandma used to say. And they talk about, like, how every saying eventually will be said one last time before it's gone. Like, eventually nobody's going to know what the looking at your watch thing means.
Well, the last watch I remember having, I was in elementary school, I think. It was a Snoopy watch.
Of course it was.
He was, like, playing tennis, you know? Like, he had a tennis racket.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Snoopy was quite good at tennis.
Doesn't make any sense because I didn't play tennis or
anything.
Snoopy
was quite an athlete.
But... the second hand was the tennis ball going around the numbers.
Ooh.
But I mean, it was very cleverly put together, so it just looked like this tennis ball was floating over the numbers, which, of course, what was really going on was there was a plastic disc with the ball on it. But because it filled up the whole
what is
space.
This Magician's Secrets Revealed? Well, I love that, like, you need to explain.
Well, the reason...
Now, kids... The tennis ball wasn't floating in the
watch. No. The reason I'm explaining, because I don't know if people understand what I mean by it looks like the tennis ball is floating over the numbers. It was that plastic, clear plastic disc with just the ball painted on it, and it was going around, and it just made it look like the ball was. And it was really cool, actually.
It sounds cool. And then,
but it was kind of dumb for me to have it since I didn't play tennis.
You sold it for Pokemon cards?
No, but I was a Peanuts fan. I was a huge Peanuts fan.
And here comes the producer. on an unnamed pirate-related errand.
Arg,
and she left the window open, I mean the door open, so we all get the cicadas now. So
I take it she's going back out.
I really hope so.
Hey, so one time Trish saw a live cicada at our house,
and I freaked out. That is true.
Well, they're
cicadas,
freaky little creatures.
The ever-loving shit
out of me. One time there was a cicada on our school bus, and it freaked me out so much, I took one of my textbooks, and I like tried to smash it.
Dude, that would ruin that textbook.
Well, the thing is, it didn't kill the thing. It just made it make that huge noise that it makes. This loud noise, and I didn't know what to do.
I'm like, that sounds like a horror movie right there.
I'm not good in...
on a school bus.
I'm not good in general with insects, but really big ones that scream, like, yeah, that's
and
not helpful.
Oh, they are... Yeah, they're creepy looking, for sure. They do look like the kind of...
And she's gone.
They do look like the kind of bug that if you gave them a chance, they'd like attach to your eyeball.
Oh, yeah,
something.
Yeah, no.
But no, I took my textbook and I was trying to kill it, but all I did was sort of maybe push it up against the wall.
And it picked
just,
up your textbook and said, what are you doing?
No, it just made that huge, awful noise that they make. And you think it's loud while you're walking down the sidewalk and they're in the trees. When they're right, like 2 feet away from you in a school bus, that's loud. I don't remember how I finally resolved that situation.
He threw his Snoopy watch at it.
Maybe I'm...
And it ate the watch.
Maybe I've blacked out that horrible experience.
So...
I don't know what was going on with that Snoopy watch. why are we talking about all this?
Because I made the watch
thing. Oh, the
thing.
Watch thing, right.
So... how was your week, William?
Well, you know, I made a podcast with my brother.
Yes, you did.
Put it out there.
You cheated
maybe,
on me.
Maybe you could link it or something.
Is it actually out there?
Oh, yeah. It's
right.
out there.
I didn't know if you guys were saving up episodes. No, we totally will. For those people who don't ever bother to go to the show notes, can you give us info here?
Yes. The podcast is called Screenshots. It's a podcast where we review movies, television, video games, and, you know, mostly in a kind of critical almost grumpy way. it's mostly going to be not positive things, but the very first one we decided to do it on, as I think I told you, Star Trek Into Darkness, because the Blu-ray for that was recently released.
Yeah.
In fact, our next episode of Screenshots, we're not recording it tonight, we're recording it next Thursday because we're going to do it every other week, is going to be about, Iron Man versus Batman, because Iron Man 3 Blu-ray is going to be released between here and there, and also the Blu-ray trilogy pack of the Batman movies is going to be released.
Oh.
So we're going to talk about the trilogies and which one was better.
If you're comparing trilogies, it's trickier. I thought you were comparing Iron Man 3 to Dark Knight Rises, and I'm like, spoiler alert.
Well, and that's another thing is we talk about every aspect of whatever we're reviewing, so spoilers. I mean, if you haven't seen Into Darkness...
No, spoiler alert, Dark Knight Rises sucked, and Iron Man 3 was pretty damn good, so... I'm just saying.
You liked Iron Man 3?
I liked Iron Man 3.
Oh, okay, well, that's interesting.
I sure as hell liked it better than Dark Knight Rises.
Well, yeah, maybe, but I didn't like it very much.
I liked it as much as I liked 2, which was slightly less than I liked 1, which was a lot.
So, in your opinion, the Iron Man trilogy as a whole... beats the Batman trilogy as a whole.
If I'm going on sheer numbers, I think I have to.
Well, now, aggregate sites suggest that Batman trilogy edges out.
Because in general, I think Dark Knight Rises got better, was more popular than it is with me.
Oh, I see.
I think there are people who like it. I really thought it was bad. I thought it was really bad.
Well, and also, the second movie in the trilogy was really... successful.
Yes, and including with me. As much as I love both Batman Begins and Dark Knight, even if I'm just going up against Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2, it's tough. It's
well,
very tough.
That's why I say the aggregate sites...
But then the third totally does it, because I really enjoyed the third, and I hated Dark Knight Rises.
The aggregate sites, like I say, Batman kind of beats Iron Man, although... I think the jury is still kind of out in terms of which trilogy had the most successful single movie, because I think the original Iron Man is pretty
well, and strong. It gets tricky because Avengers ties strongly.
In fact,
with and that I'm not saying should be included. I'm saying that unduly.
No, no, no. Yeah, I totally agree, because, and that's a point I made to Scott. We were discussing today, you know, what films we should see in preparation for the next episode, and I mentioned that maybe if, you know, he wants to look at Avengers again before we, because like you just said, fair or not, people kind of associate these
things. Well, and Iron Man 3 deals with things that happened in Avengers.
But not only that, you know, Christian Bale's not going to make a Justice League movie, so
no.
That
Ben Affleck is.
That's not going to give any kind of boost to the original trilogy the way Avengers gives to Iron Man. But see, these are the kinds of things we talk about on screen.
So you don't have to listen to that podcast, because we just did it right. So, okay, what website could they go to? Because if they Google screenshots, first of all, a lot of porn. Second of all, I'm not going
to
find
it. If you go to Ether Theater and you click on
radio,
which is in, there's a navigation menu to the left on Ether Theater, and you click on radio, it should take you right to it.
All
right.
And we will link that in the show notes. So go to the blog, magicaltalkinghat.com. You'll also find it there.
So that's going to be a bi-weekly thing. And Monday, we have planned, I'm going to be starting a podcast with Jazz.
With Jazz, okay.
A listener. It's called Grapevine, and it's going to be... Actually, there's a lot of podcasts with Grapevine in the title, but none of them are just called Grapevine, because none of them deal with really what the grapevine, you know, is. I mean, what we're
the actual physical plant.
No, what I mean is the stories themselves, the narratives themselves, the stories that we tell about things going on in our world and how they shape how we talk about them and experience them. So that's kind of what we're going to be talking
about.
I'll
bet you're wondering how I knew about your plans to make me blue with some other guy you knew before. William, between the two of us guys, you know I love you more.
Well,
then me.
I know.
No, I'm singing a song to William. We're talking about William's infidelities.
The two other podcasts.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I did.
The producer was way more disturbed by this than I was.
I was like, do you know William has another podcast?
I believe her specific words were, do you know William's cheating on you? And I said, yeah, with a couple people.
I'm Polly Podcast.
And who knew William was going to be the breakout star from this? I did. I really did.
No, but I mean, it's... What? No, come on.
His solo album drops in November.
But that's going to start on Monday. And I'm not sure how often we're going to do these, but hopefully we'll do them at least twice a week. And I'm really looking forward to doing that. So that'll be...
Of course, the guy who's literally just the pretty face and doesn't have to do any of the sound stuff... can just hop around podcasts all over the place.
Oh.
No, I'm just saying that William just gets to go places and podcasts
that's not
are
true.
Manifest in
that's,
front of
that's
him.
That's not true. I that happens here. I come here, I show up, I talk,
yes.
I leave. But I do all of the work for screenshots.
Oh, really?
Otherwise, it wouldn't have happened. We're going to share more of the load when it comes to Grapevine. But yeah, I do pretty much all of the actual work for screenshots. All
right, then it'll probably keep going.
Well, I hope so, because I thought it was fun. I thought it turned out
William
okay.
William takes his creative responsibilities very seriously.
I thought it turned out okay, and I'm really looking forward to working with Jazz, because we've been talking about doing something like this for a really long time, and I'm really looking forward to it. Also, we've got a second read-through scheduled for Briar Rose.
In November.
Because,
you know, tourist season.
And also, I decided that I'm going to sort of... I've been putting this off for a long time because I didn't want to be the person to do it, but I think...
Oh, God, he's breaking up with me.
No, I'm going to record my novels myself. I'm just going to read them.
Oh.
I wanted someone else to do it, and I was thinking of other things I might do, but I've decided, you know what,
you never
I'm just
asked
going to do
me.
It. Well, are you sure I never asked you?
I'm pretty sure.
Because it seems like I asked you, and you couldn't do that.
I don't remember you asking me. I'd be willing to give it a shot.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because that would be great.
I'd be willing to give it a shot. Now, again, there's a timing issue. But I figure there's not a lot of, this isn't like a regular thing. This would be something we'd knock out in pretty low number of time periods.
That would be awesome, because, I mean, I'll
give it a shot.
Really? Because that would be great.
I am not a professional voice actor.
Well, neither am I.
Little to no experience.
I'm just realizing that, you know, I've been putting it off for a lot of reasons. I mean, Jazz actually was interested in doing it, but I mean, she's so busy in it. I don't even remember.
I remember you talking about this in a very nebulous theoretical sense. You didn't even send me to find people. I know people. I know people who have done professional voice acting.
Well, yeah, but I can't pay anybody.
Who wouldn't want money?
Why?
Because they're just friends.
Huh.
People from my gaming group have done it. Like, well, I know folks.
I mean, yeah, like, Jazz was interested in doing it, and she's got a great voice, and she'd be great for it. But, you know, I'm really surprised we're even able to get the podcast together. So, you know, I was kind of thinking...
Jazz Bloodsparrow?
No.
I bet she'd do it. I don't think you worked very well at looking for people.
You know, it's true. Sometimes I sort of get in my head what's possible and what's not, and I don't even...
there's a lot... In the same vein that you were able to cast Briar Rose, a lot of people in there would be totally willing to do
that's
that.
That's a little different.
I guarantee you, Veramon would probably pay you $5 to get to do the voice on your audiobook.
But doing... Reading an audiobook is a bigger deal. It takes more time, and I mean, you know, that just seemed like a lot to ask someone to do.
Yes, but you underestimate the value of attention.
The value of attention?
Yes, people like attention.
Oh.
And nothing gives you attention, well, there are many things, actually, but something that gives you attention really well is getting to be the narrator of an audiobook.
Providing anyone's interested in listening to it.
There is that.
It's not like a best-selling novel.
My family, at least, then would buy it. And I'd say, "Hey, I read this thing out loud." There's people.
Hmm. Well,
if you would like to be the narrator for Williams' audiobooks, go to the blog and tell us. It's magicaltalkinghat.com.
The thing is, it's like I've said in the past. I really wrote these books. I mean, they probably are better read.
I want to do the first one as a full cast.
Yeah, I know. We've talked about that, but
that one's gorgeous as a full cast.
I don't even know how we could accomplish that. But
well, I'll give you a hint. It's similar to what we're doing right now with Prairie Rose.
True, but the thing is, I don't want to wait any longer. I mean, I want it to move forward, and that's another reason why I was deciding maybe I should just do it, because another thing about working with someone else is that, well, maybe they're not going to be as available as I'm going to be.
Well, and I don't think you would do a bad job, so I'm not opposed.
Really? Because I think I do a horrible job.
Of course you do. But no, I think you'd do fine. I think you'd do quite good, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I don't think you should feel that that's your only option.
Hmm. Well, we can talk about it some more later, because I really would like to see if someone who I think would be better at it than me could do it.
All right, so other than cheating on me with other podcasts, what was your week like? Still haven't played Gone Home, I'm sure.
No, that's about it. You know, and I'm still thinking about that. I'm still thinking about that web series. I haven't forgotten about that. So
no,
you know,
it's still there.
If ever.
Did you say something to me, honey?
No, I said something to your cat.
Oh, okay.
But how was your?
Well, yeah.
Cat's trying to steal her pizza.
Cat's trying to steal her pizza.
How was your week then?
My week was very full, I think. Yes.
Well, tell me about it then.
Look,
I asked. I asked how your week was.
You
gave me a vague answer. I asked you to elaborate. All those nice little hoops you like me to jump through. And I did it.
My exercising is going really well.
Ah, good. I'm glad to hear that.
I think, actually, I have a doctor's appointment next Thursday. My usual, like, every 3 months deal.
Oh.
And I suspect on this one, if I have gained any weight this time, this will be the first time I will believe the whole, well, you know, muscle weighs more than fat thing that everybody tries to, you know, sugarcoat it with. Because I really have been putting on some muscles. because of the crazy weightlifting I do on Sunday at this point. Sundays are kind of amazing now, Sunday afternoons, because I go in and it's like an hour and a half, 2 hours of a lot. Like, it's, I've never worked out like this. It's really kind of amazing to leave the gym just shattered and being like, I exercised as much as I can. Like, right. I couldn't do it. Like, it's very sad. And, you know, I'm dead, and I'm glad it's just once a week for that. And then the other ones, by comparison, are pretty easy at this point. I just do some cardio and some core stuff for my back. But I've been, now that I'm doing that consistently, I'm really starting to notice some muscles. So
good.
That's been good. Work's still kind of crazy. I think I'm almost finished with Final Fantasy 13 2. Our DVR broke, but we've already got it replaced. It was a good time for it to be broke, because everything was dead, like shows. And we got it replaced just before all the shows are starting again.
Did you watch Sleepy Hollow?
Yes. I was going to get to that. Yeah, do we want to do this now, or should I tell you about the two movies I saw?
Oh, first? No, go ahead. I mean, whatever order you wanted all to right, do it.
We got to talk about Sleepy Hollow.
We do?
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about Sleepy Hollow.
Because I saw it, too, so.
That's why we got to talk about it.
Okay.
I saw two movies. On Saturday, saw On Demand, because I had wanted to see it, we saw Now You See Me.
Okay.
Which is the magician heist movie with a bunch of people. It's got Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, James Franco's little brother, Morgan Freeman.
Oh, that's terrible. It's James true. Franco's little brother.
Sorry, Dave Franco.
Was that like in the credits that way?
No, but that's who it is.
James Franco's little brother.
Morgan that's Freeman. Michael Caine.
Wow. Jeez.
Mark Ruffalo. Yeah, a lot of people in it. It was pretty good. It's not great. It's a heist movie. I love heist movies.
Yeah, I do too. I like heist movies.
It goes a little weird near the end. And I feel like it's a little bit cheaty at the end. I feel like it doesn't, its internal logic doesn't quite work. And it's more going for a vibe and a message than it is going for the tech. Like I've been spoiled by Leverage. Like, there was no point where it went to black and white and we got to see in exact detail how they did it. Like, the big secrets we eventually revealed, yeah. But just the smaller stuff and all that, we never got to see that. So it was a little bit disappointing in that. I think it's fun. I mean, if you never see it, you're fine.
Yeah.
It's not one of the great heist movies ever, but it was entertaining. If you want to watch it sometime, it's pretty fun. And it's fun to see all those actors. They all do really well. It's really fun to see Jesse Eisenberg not playing Jesse Eisenberg. Like, this is the first movie where he's not the clumsy nerd. And, in fact, he's kind of the full-of-himself douchebag womanizer in this one. And they gave him slightly longer hair, and he has a little goatee and stuff. And he does it well. It was kind of weird. It was kind of like seeing Jason Bateman play the porn producer in State of Play. It was fun to finally see them playing a different part.
Incidentally, another fairly good heist movie is Flawless. It's got Michael Caine and Demi Moore, and it's kind of old, but...
Oh, I haven't seen that. I'll check it out, because the producer especially, but me too, really love a heist movie.
It's pretty good. Demi Moore is playing she's playing an American, but she lives in Britain, so sometimes she sounds a little British. It's really kind of weird, but it's actually pretty good.
Cool.
I recommend it.
The other movie I saw just last night was The Family, which is Robert De Niro, Michelle Pfeiffer, and two younger people playing a family, basically mobster family that's in the witness protection program.
Oh, The Family.
Yes. And Trish was very excited about it, and I thought, you know, can't. Even at its worst, it's going to be what? It's going to be funny.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Sure.
No.
No. Bad, huh?
It was bad. And here's the thing. There are many things I could complain about. Most of them are all forgivable. The two things that do it, it's boring, and it's not funny. By the way, it is a comedy.
At least it's supposed to be, huh?
Yeah. And so, yeah, it was bad. I mean, it's not like, I wasn't, like, angry at it or whatever. But there's no reason to see
angry
it.
At.
Well, it's not like Elysium. It doesn't have shit that offended me or anything.
Okay.
It's a black comedy. There's some violence in it and stuff. But it's just, it wasn't funny and I was bored. So, do not see The Family. Not been a good run lately. Go see The World's End, people. If you got to see something in the theater, see The World's End. Because there ain't a lot of other shit out right now that's any good. Yes, and our DVR was still broken when Sleepy Hollow came. The producer watched it when it actually aired, and I watched it a couple days later on the computer.
Okay.
But we did both see Sleepy Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
William, let me ask you this. Will you be continuing to watch Sleepy Hollow?
Well, see, the choice isn't just up to me.
Yes. Will your household be continuing to watch Sleepy Hollow?
Yes, yes, yes. But
you would rather not, potentially?
If I don't feel like I need to keep watching it, no. It wasn't good. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it really wasn't good, in my opinion. I mean, what did you think?
I will be continuing to watch Sleepy Hollow.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Why? You thought it was good? You liked it?
I adored it.
Really?
You'll note I answered your second question, not your first question.
I didn't think it was good at all.
I didn't say it was good. I said I adored it. This is the thing. And it's very weird. If you go and read AV Club's review of it, I pretty much feel exactly like that is.
Okay.
And here's the thing. It's, by the way, we're having some serious wind outside and a storm coming, so if you hear weird sounds, that's why. It's getting freaky out there.
Freaked out Twiglet.
Freaked out Twiglet. Sleepy Hollow is ridiculous. Like, it makes no sense.
No, not really.
Like, and the bits you can get are super dumb. but it is not... that on its own could be... I mean, this could be my new thing. You know, I had Once Upon a Time, and then I had Arrow. This could be my new thing. But the other thing is, it's really... It was enjoyable. I was getting into it. I was I mean, I wasn't buying it, but I was buying into it. Like, I was totally with them, and I can totally give a damn. This is, not only is it just a fabulous, you know, over made up transsexual drag queen, you know, flaunting it on the stage of a TV show. It's likable. It's enjoyable. I don't know how they did it. It has some charm to it that I can't explain. Even though it's just nuts. All the secrets are hidden in Washington's Bible. That's a line in the movie or in the TV show, people.
Yeah, you know,
It's
I really
hilarious.
Have no idea what you're talking about because I didn't find any of those things in it. I just thought it was very poorly put together.
It really is.
I mean, the character development and relationship development was non-existent.
If it gets canceled in like 5 episodes, I won't be surprised.
Now,
I won't be sad though.
The female lead, her name's Nicole.
I'm not into her so far.
Well, see, that's the sad thing because she was an African Violet. And she was great in it, and I haven't seen 42 yet, but I'll bet she was great in that too.
Yeah, because I'm less into her, except I do feel we didn't deal with it too much here, but I see some sparks of chemistry between them.
Well, okay, and that's another thing. No, there isn't. There was
I thought there was.
Well, yeah, because there was one moment where they were in a dangerous situation, and they got out of that dangerous situation, were surrounded by cops, and then they looked at each other with goofy grins that made no sense to the context at all. Like the writers were saying, okay, now let's have them look at each other in some goofy way that doesn't even make sense, and that'll be a signal to the viewers that there's chemistry between them. And that was just dumb.
No, that's
there was
not
nothing
what I'm getting
to, on. There was nothing to ramp up to that. There was nothing to...
It was absolutely dumb, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about all the other shit. I'm talking about all the sniping, all the weird conversations in the car. That was the part. I felt the actors had chemistry.
Well,
I'm not talking about the shit that they tried to design. I will tell you this, though. Minor spoiler for the pilot. If there are actors that you know well and recognize and say, why are they on a Fox show? And then you realize in the opening credits they're listed under guest star, they're either going to be dead or evil or both.
Dead or evil or both. Yeah, I mean it.
Because that was the thing. I was like, oh my God, wait, it said guest star. Oh, shit. And sure enough.
Well, I don't know. Like I said.
Oh, fuck it. I can't help it. And I'm only spoiling the first 5 minutes. Guys, the Kurgan from Highlander gets beheaded in the first 5 minutes of this TV show.
Yeah, it's.
There can be only one.
Yeah. We were all saying that at our house as well.
I didn't put it together till later. The commenters in the AV Club thing, and the producer pointed out, and I was like, holy shit, oh, that's no, true.
We all said it in our house right before it happened. In fact, even before that, we were saying,
I got something to say. Better to burn out than to fade away.
I just know.
I mean, we were saying that. From, we were doing all that stuff right before it happened.
I know him from so many different things. Oh yeah, so he's been in a lot of things.
But when it's Clancy Brown and he's going to get his head chopped off,
and the Headless Horseman is involved,
that's the only place to go.
It was pretty hilarious.
But yeah, I was very disappointed. Now, again,
well, that's the thing. Did you also have expectations?
Well, no, not
there was
really.
Just no way this wasn't going to be ridiculous.
I must have had more expectations than you had.
Ichabod Crane is brought from the past into the future to fight the Headless Horseman. That's the run-through right there.
Well, yeah, I
can't do that good.
I just wanted it to be better.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wanted it to be better. And I thought the previews were actually pretty well put together to really kind of entice you to think this might be good. But then, you know what, and I'll probably say this on the other podcast too, is what it was like was...
All right, so we're not even getting an exclusive content
no,
anymore.
Listen, what it was kind of like to me was, really, everything that happened in the pilot episode, they could have stretched out for a whole season, and
yes,
it would
have
been more interesting. So
the
what
review
it,
actually addressed that.
What it felt like was, I wasn't watching a pilot, I was watching previously on this, and it was an hour long previously. That's what it felt, and
yeah,
not just... in terms of how much crap was forced into the pilot, but how it was presented as, well, here's a highlight, here's a highlight, here's a highlight, how it all seems disjointed when you watch those things. That's exactly what it felt like. Nothing really connected logically to anything else.
No, the whole thing was they created a really elaborate, overly complex premise and needed to shove all those details into this episode. Because most of the show is not going to be about that. Most of the show is basically going to be episodic. It's going to be X-Files, but supernatural and small town.
When what they could have done was taken
absolutely.
The whole
they could
story,
have taken that.
Stretched it out on the whole season, and that might have been some good TV.
I don't know about that.
No, I think it might have. I mean,
I don't know about that because the plot line is still pretty ridiculous.
Well, but there's things they could have done. Like you know, I was thinking how interesting it would be because, of course, this Ichabod Crane is so different from the
virtually
Washington
no
Irving.
Resemblance to the stories any of this.
But
by
what,
the way.
What I was saying would be really fun and interesting is if Washington Irving's story was in the show and he saw the story and he was totally baffled by it, like what?
Yeah,
what? I never lived. I was
the
never
problem
a school
is
teacher.
That's pretty heavily cliche at this point.
Well, it doesn't matter. The point is...
You don't know the real story.
No, that's not what I mean. So he sees this story. He's baffled by it because he was never a school teacher and he never lived in Sleepy Hollow. Hmm. But Irving, knowing how he was... how his life was saved and how he was preserved and that he was not going to wake up for many years, wrote the story as code for him to read and decipher later, see? Which would work in well with some of the other stuff they're doing. And that way you could explain why this Ichabod Crane is so different from the one in the story. And it would be clever and interesting. But of course, could they think of that? I mean, I'm no genius, but I think that's a pretty good idea. And they couldn't think of that.
This whole thing is totally.
But you see how they could have done something neat with it, and they just didn't.
I do, but I'm perfectly happy.
Okay, I'm glad you are. But see, the thing is that the other two people in my household, the young woman and her mother, I like the female character. Think she's pretty cool, and they liked her in African Violet, and they are hoping to see that she does more stuff than she did in the first show. But you know, my response to their chemistry and everything is much like it was much like my response to the Elementary.
Oh, yeah. And, which I also really like.
Well, we just watched the first episode and stopped watching because we thought, okay, this is going
to
be crap.
Yeah, you have to give it about 4 episodes of that show.
And maybe this show's the same. Maybe their first episode is just going to be terrible.
Well, the pilots always suck. I mean, pilots
not
tend
always,
to suck.
Not always.
Virtually every pilot I've seen... virtually every pilot I've seen is of much worse quality than the show that follows.
I suppose that's typical, but...
Pilots are never better than the show.
Well, the interesting thing about this show, too, is that when Scott and I were talking about Star Trek Into Darkness, Alex Kurtz, well, I forget his name now, but the co-creator and writer of Sleepy Hollow is also one of the writers for Star Trek Into Darkness.
Oh.
So that actually did not bode well, as far as I was concerned.
No, not a good sign. Also, it's a story about Ichabod Crane traveling to the 21st century to fight the Headless Horseman.
Kurtzman, or I forget his last name now. Oh, well, it doesn't matter.
His name was Colonel Kurtz, and he said, the horror. The horror.
Maybe I got his name all wrong. I don't know. That, anyway, there's that connection.
Anyway, catch it now, people, before it gets canceled faster than Happy Town. Trish and I are the only people in the world who watched Happy Town. We watched every goddamn episode of Happy Town, of which I believe there were 8.
And you liked it?
We liked it. That one goes back to Once Upon a Time, Arrow, The Cape, if you go far enough back. Although The Cape was so bad, I couldn't even watch it. I couldn't even watch The Cape. All I could do was read the AV Club reviews, because after the first, like, 2 episodes, it was unwatchable. But all these others, and Happy Town included, were just so ridiculous. It was hilarious. And this show has that, but something about this show is more charming also. It's not good. I will never use the word good to describe it. But it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, I don't know.
For the rest of you, go watch Sleepy Hollow, and then go to the blog and tell us what you thought. TheMagicalTalkingHat.com. I hear giggling children in the other rooms. Their other room, I'm going to hope that's Netflix. Otherwise, it's weird. The producer is watching a zit-popping video, so...
Which has got to be more interesting than this podcast, so... Maybe we shouldn't have mentioned it, because now people are going to stop listening to us.
The only podcast less interesting than a zit-popping video. The only podcast in the world. Yeah, that's pretty much my week. We are about to start genuine character creation for my new campaign.
Oh, okay.
We have finished our future history. We got as far as the 25th century. We still never got outside the solar system. We only just barely got FTL, and we never got any aliens.
Never got any aliens?
Nope.
There just aren't any?
We didn't get any in those 500 years.
Huh.
They're going to be set hundreds of years further along, so that'll be up to me, however. But we do have our basic character concepts, which I'm a little worried about at times. To remind people, they were each supposed to be criminals of some sort from different centuries that were cryogenically frozen. And then they're going to be unfrozen. Hijinks are going to ensue. So far, our band of 4 is...
Consicles. As it were.
A sociopathic mechanical genius. Who's not, like, didn't mean to hurt anybody or anything. He just was a sociopath and didn't realize that, like, putting self-destruct sequences into ships and not telling anybody they were there was a bad thing. A sociopathic cyberneticist who believed that melding man and machine is the future and experimented on herself, but in preparation to help everybody else out, she released some nanites into the population where she lived and accidentally killed a lot of people. So again...
But, you know...
Not really a bad person, just kind of a sociopath.
Sometimes
just has some difficulty
that's what
for
science requires.
Yeah. The one actual regular criminal, which is a bioengineered assassin, who comes from one of the later centuries where things got heavily political and fucked up. And a family crime boss.
Not a sociopath?
Not especially.
Oh, okay.
I say that about the other two because... They both sort of tried to eschew making actual bad guys, which I told them is fine. But the way they did it, I'm the one who coined the term sociopath for both of them, because in both cases, it's like they just don't, like, didn't consider other people and don't, like, there's the major human empathy missing there.
Gotcha.
And that's a really loud video, baby.
They're really excited about their zip behind, I guess.
And then Family Crime Boss, who has frontal lobe damage, which has hurt their executive authority. So they basically function highly intuitively now and tend not to plan ahead well or learn things by rote. And who, despite being a crime boss, apparently isn't frozen for some crime, but is frozen by their family in the hopes that in the future they can repair the damage that was done.
Wow. That's really out there.
I don't know, but I pushed really hard that the emphasis this time was they needed to make characters they thought were going to be fun to play. And they all say these are what they think is going to be fun to play, so I'm like, go for it.
Huh.
Because I want them to have fun playing their characters. This game is going to be setting-based. I'm just going to throw them into weird shit and see what happens. So as long as they're playing people that they like, I'm down with it. As I said, especially over one of them, if I was a player in this game, I might have words to say. But as the GM, go for it. So I'm getting pretty excited because they're really starting to get character concepts in their head and stuff. So we're starting to move. we should probably do some hatting.
Yeah,
as long as we're here.
I imagine it's getting pretty late already.
We got about 20 minutes left.
20 minutes left.
Wheel of morality, turn, turn, turn. By the way, there's a train in the background. We really should soundproof, I don't know, this entire house.
I don't know if people can hear that much stuff. Dear servants of the Enchanted Chatty Sombrero.
Enchanted Chatty Sombrero. The sombrero is not particular chatty. It would be an enchanted sombrero of chatting.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not itself chatty.
Are either of you playing or interested in playing Star Wars The Old Republic? And that's from Hard Hat Number 1, Mark McKibben.
Mark McKibben. Neither of us is playing Star Wars The Old Republic. I can say that pretty firmly.
No. As far as being it now, is he talking about an MMO or?
Yes, the MMO that BioWare did, that's a follow up to Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2.
Well, in our house we played Knights of the Old Republic and we liked BioWare's, take on that. I imagine we would probably enjoy many aspects of the MMO, but there's so many other aspects of MMO play that we don't like that we just don't even do MMOs in general. So even though, aren't they going to have an Oblivion MMO?
They're going to have an Elder Scrolls one.
Elder Scrolls, yeah. Again, Elder Scrolls is very well liked in my household, but MMOs aren't. And I don't think anyone in our house is going to, because of their like for Elder Scrolls, go ahead and say, all right, well, I'll put up with the things I don't like about MMOs. It just doesn't, I don't see that ever happening. I'm not interested in doing any kind of MMO, no matter how cool the game or what cool game it's based on.
Did you guys play both Knights of the Old Republic?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But, I'm sure that whenever we find out that a game that we like and that we would play if it was on a console, and that's another thing. We don't like playing it on PC either.
Yeah.
But that if a game we like playing on console and then we find out it's not going to be on console anymore, it's either just going to be on PC or MMO, we're always disappointed because we dislike playing on those platforms so much that we just won't do it no matter how cool we think the game is.
Yeah.
But you're not playing it. Do you have any interest in playing it?
I have a great deal of interest in playing it. I don't anticipate I ever will.
Yeah.
Knights of the Old Republic is one of those rare games that I played through twice completely. I played light side, I played dark side.
Well, that's not that rare. I mean, when you play a game that's got a light side or a dark side or several different iterations, you usually play them all, don't you?
No.
I thought you did, like Fable and stuff like that.
Fable and Knights of the Old Republic, I think, are the only ones. I didn't manage it with Dragon Age. I didn't manage it with Mass Effect.
Oh, really?
I tried.
Interesting.
I didn't manage it with Infamous. In all of those, I eventually started another game. I didn't finish it. With Knights of the Old Republic, I actually played it all the way through twice. With Knights of the Old Republic 2, I played it almost all the way through twice. Near the end, I realized I'm past the point where it's going to be that different, and I was getting tired of it, so I stopped a little early. Fable's really unusual. The original Fable, I played like 5 times all the way through over the years, including Lost Chapters, but I've played through Fable all the way many times.
What was that other game, Jade?
Jade Empire, I did play through twice.
Yeah.
Now,
who did
Fable
Jade...
2, I don't think I played through Fable 2 twice.
Who did Jade Empire?
Also BioWare.
That was BioWare, right.
Yes. That was basically Knights of the Old Republic with some real-time Kung Fu shit in there.
Right.
Well,
in a way, Mass Effect was kind of like, well, we...
Mass Effect was BioWare.
Well, I know, but it was kind of a, well, we want to have characters who have Force abilities, but we're not doing Star Wars, so...
Yep.
I mean, that's kind of what that was, too.
When I heard The Old Republic was coming out, I was like, no, because I've done MMOs, I've discovered two things. One, I can really get sucked in, and then I'm spending all my time and money on one game instead of my life, and instead of other games, and this is not good. I've done this with World of Warcraft. And two, I'm not super suited to MMOs, because I don't tend to do good of like playing in groups of people. Yeah. In general, I'm not usually good with multiplayer, the exception being when I play like with the
like cooperative with someone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in general, I don't do good with multiplayer, especially online multiplayer. So I was like, no, I probably won't be good at it, and it'll eat me alive.
Well, that's the thing about MMOs in our house, is that we don't have any interest in connecting and joining some kind of party and playing with a bunch of people we don't know. We just have no interest in it.
Then something happens, though, with Star Wars The Old Republic. I find out that you go through basically your first 20 levels in a character all on your own, and that it is an involved story where you can get, like, I think you can get companions and stuff like that. And each of the 8 classes has a very different story. And many people have said it's as close as you're ever going to get to Knights of the Old Republic 3. And there's 8 different stories, because you can just make a new character of a different thing.
So for like the first 20 levels, you don't really interact with other people who are logged onto the MMO?
No.
Which means it's more of an online console than an MMO until you get to
that point, and then there's more stuff. This is what I've been told. I have no first-hand knowledge, people, but this is what I was told. And again, 8 different stories along those lines.
And we still wouldn't do it for the other reason you said, that you have to pay a subscription fee and it can eat up a lot of your time.
But
I mean, the thing about
it's console... now free to play.
Really?
There's actually, I believe, 3 levels. There is free to play, which gives you limited access to certain resources, like what amounts to an auction house, and limits your races, but otherwise you can just play it. And then there's a one-time fee that unlocks some stuff, and then I believe there's still also a subscription thing that's like the premier level of stuff. But no, it is essentially free to play. But the reason I continue not to, and I don't think I ever will, is I wouldn't be like, oh, I've done all 8 the solo stuff, guess I'm done now. I would not do that. I would want to explore. Somebody be like, hey, join our whatever the equivalent of a guild is. I'll be like, okay. And then and years later I'd be like, I'm not really having fun. What am I doing?
Yeah, well, we would not do that. On the other hand, there would still be other problems, like, you know, the server would be down, or we would be in the middle of something and the server will go down. I mean, I can always find a reason or excuse to not do an MMO. I mean, it's just, we just don't like them. I mean, and the only reason we don't do things on the PC is just because we just don't like the interface. You know,
when did y'all play MMOs?
Well, I mean, like we did Second Life, for example, which I'm not sure a lot of people would think that counts, but, And I don't remember. It seems like we did another one. It wasn't like World of Warcraft or something like that. But we tried the Star Trek MMO just to see what it was like. But, I mean, we didn't really get that seriously into it. We just sort of looked at it. And they just don't appeal to anybody in the household, really.
Yeah, I always thought I needed to find the one that was right for me. And, I mean, and I played WoW for a long time. But I eventually figured out, yeah, I'm not into that. And part of why WoW worked, and I think what newer ones are doing, is they build them such that you can play the whole thing by yourself. It used to be, back in the days of EverQuest and when Final Fantasy XI came out, like, past a certain point, you couldn't progress in the game without people. The monsters were either too hard for you to kill on your own, or they were small enough that you didn't raise any level with it, and you had to find a group. And I was like, I'm not good at that. And WoW was the first thing that came out that was like, you can go to max level all on your own. There's things you'll miss out on, but you can get there. And that's a lot of what I did. And that helped a lot. But eventually I was like, if I'm doing this, why don't I play a game just like that? And so, yeah, I stopped. So, no, Mark, neither of us are playing it. And essentially, neither of us have interest. I actually have a lot of interest, but I will never do it. But I've heard good things. Well, and free to play, Mark.
And we are.
You cheap bastard.
We are, in our household, fans of Star Wars The Old Republic. But yeah.
I like The Old Republic a lot. I feel like it's the good things about Star Wars with all the Lucas taken out.
Yeah, kind of. Kind of, yeah. Can we draw one more? Just one more?
I will turn this podcast around if you keep whining. Alright. Aren't you worried about the storm coming to get us?
No. I can't worry about that.
It's another Mark.
Oh. Well, this is Mark's night,
I guess.
He's
a party guy.
Party guy.
Dear vocal extensions of the Magical Talking Hat, what will be the defining event of the next Pope's reign? I'm assuming he means the now current Pope.
Yeah, Francis, is that right?
Which
Francis,
means,
is that right?
Yes, which means he may be a little late.
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, the Pope has already gone with that homosexuals are pretty much okay, and he's driving around in a 23-year-old Renault hatchback, I think.
And let's stop harping about abortion. I think that's another thing.
Yeah. Did you hear that? Yeah, some Italian priest gifted him with a 23-year-old little Renault that's all like rusted out but still runs, has 190,000 miles on it, and that's what he's using as his car because he despises luxury or disdains, I should say, at least.
Well, I mean,
which I'm all down with that. I do find it weird though, because I thought the point of the Pope Mobile was not luxury but survivability.
Yeah, well,
like,
you know, a lot of people would think a car like that's pretty nice, so it's kind of a relative, isn't it?
Well, when it's that old, I don't think too many people would consider it a 23-year-old version with 190,000 miles that luxurious.
If they don't have one, and if they have to ride the bus to work all the time. And...
No, I mean, I knew people who ended up with cars like that.
I had.
And they were very grateful.
I had lots of cars like that.
You didn't consider them luxurious.
No, but I was really glad to have them.
Yes, he's glad to have his, too. He likes his little Renault.
But what I'm saying is, well, whatever, it doesn't matter. Sorry. So what do you think is going to be the defining event of the next Pope's reign?
I don't know. I feel like he's trying to change the whole thing. And it's happening so sort of suddenly and all-encompassingly. I'm like, either this is a... They snuck somebody in here who they didn't realize is going to...
Shake it up?
Yes, or this whole thing is an elaborate PR move.
What? You mean that the people who are in charge of putting a pope in place are thinking, you know what, we need to make some changes?
Dude,
so.
This is not the first time the Catholic Church has changed its stance on stuff, specifically in a desire to get more people in.
I suppose.
They did it under Benedict. I forget what it was, but there was something that they were like, we're fine with this now, so that young people would show up. I can't remember. It may have been masturbation. I can't remember.
It's kind of funny how all of that works. I mean, because the fact of the matter is, the church, you know, the Pope, in some ways, the way the Pope is seen and the way the Pope is defined in the traditions of the church and in the dogmas of the church,
yep,
make it such that he could pretty much do whatever the heck he wants.
He's infallible.
I mean, if he were to say, look, priests can get married, you can use birth control now, and homosexuals are okay.
No, that's what it is, actually. They were trying to poach Anglicans who were pissed off about the gays by saying, if you were Anglican and you converted, you could keep your spouse. That's what it was.
What are you talking about?
A few years ago they did that.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And what could anybody do about it? I mean, if the Pope said that,
mm-hmm,
and there would be huge support, at least among American Catholics, I don't know if the majority necessarily, but a significant number of people. Now, there would probably be, I want to say there'd be a backlash in some of the more conservative Catholic countries, but I don't see how that could be true, because if they're conservative Catholics, they're just going to do whatever the Pope says, right?
Well, it depends.
So, you know, I realize that the Pope and or his advisors or whatever take their job very seriously, right? I mean, even though everything I just said is true. No, but I'm saying, even though they know everything I just said is true, that doesn't mean it's okay for them to just throw caution to the wind and do a bunch of ridiculous stuff. But that said, if, you know, to say that gay people are okay or to let priests marry or whatever, even though that flies in the face of a lot of tradition, in terms of, you know, good social science, that's not outlandish.
And essentially the Catholic Church has serial infallibility. So,
yeah, right.
What the Pope said before was true and infallible.
At the time.
At the time, yeah. Right for that moment. Now, if a different Pope says something different, the other one wasn't wrong. They're just not, now this one's right. So, you can change all sorts of shit.
Now, when you think about it, that's actually a somewhat enlightened way. I mean, that acknowledges that...
I feel like it's a somewhat chicken shit way.
Well... Yes, you can see it that way, but you can also see it as, you know, as we get more information, as we learn more about the world, you know, how we define truth, how do we define what's right and wrong can change, and we, you know, I mean...
I will grant you this. Insofar as I believe, and I do, that the concept of infallibility is incredibly stupid.
No, I agree.
Insofar as that... And
no offense to our Catholic listeners,
the concept of serial infallibility, like that we've discussed here, which might have to be the title of this episode, basically deconstructs some of that infallibility. Yes, I'm in favor of it. Insofar as I think the concept of infallibility sucks, and this waters down the concept. But compared to being able to say, you know what, maybe not always absolutely right. Compared to that, no, I don't like this.
No,
I think it's stupid.
I get it.
It's, wow, I'm feeling controversial tonight. it's the Pope version of intelligent design.
Yeah, well.
It's like, oh, no. We're scientific now. We still believe the same shit we did, but we're scientific now.
Yeah, kind of like backpedaling on condemning Galileo and
that's the one I really love.
But
and as somebody pointed out, what would really be good if they were going to do it, and it may have to be a few popes down the road, like Galileo, it took a little while.
A few popes.
Like the point at which they knew that was bad to persecute Galileo, and the point at which they said it was maybe
that
bad.
That was a mistake.
Was pretty broad. in between. So it's going to be a while. Time. But totally waiting for the day when they're like, you know how we had some priests that molested some kids and what we did was quieted everybody down and just shipped them off somewhere else? That was probably a bad call. Still waiting on that. Yeah, still waiting on that one there. Because that's kind of a big one, people.
Well, again, no offense to our Catholic listeners, but we're not Catholic, and so I hope you can understand
these these are points that you have to wrestle with.
Yeah, I hope you can understand that many people who aren't Catholic are not really going to see the Pope as someone who has any religious authority or is infallible or anything else.
And I think there's a lot of Catholics who don't consider the Pope infallible.
That's true. There are a lot of Catholics who feel that way,
which
too.
Which I find very confusing.
But the question is, what will the defining event of the next Pope's reign be? So do you think that he's going to do something really progressive and really open the doors on something that has been controversial for a long time?
Maybe.
Especially in the
I've figured it out. I know what he's going to do. He's going to introduce a policy amongst the clergy called Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Meaning what?
Meaning the same thing it meant when Bill Clinton introduced it in the military.
But just for homosexual priests or or any priest that wants to be involved in sexual relations with
someone? No. Well, I think maybe you didn't. That could be. But no, I don't think so. I think it is homosexual. Because remember, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was all about preference. It wasn't about actual activity.
Oh, yeah, I think I see what you're saying.
Actually, Ask, Don't Tell was really nebulous and bullshit.
Actually, I didn't know that the Catholic Church really cared about whether or not a priest was a homosexual in, like, orientation. They just don't want you to be homosexual in practice, right?
If we explicate the joke, it's not funny.
I didn't know there was a joke.
I don't really think... Nobody's ever going to use Don't Ask, Don't Tell again because it has been shown to be horrendous and was a laughing stock.
And that's some guarantee that no one will do it again?
Well, not real soon. Not when we're still like, remember Don't Ask, Don't Tell that everybody thought was... It's like nobody's going to come up with a new program now anywhere in the world and call it No Child Left Behind. Same thing. Nobody's going to use that term.
I have no idea what the Pope's going to... I have no reason to think the Pope will do anything, change anything. I mean, you know, maybe talk about how, well, maybe we should be more tolerant of this, that, and the other thing, but that doesn't mean the Pope's going to change anything.
Pope's not the one who joined Twitter, not this one. At least Benedict's the one who joined Twitter, so we can't count that.
Okay, well...
There was some weird shit.
Do you think Francis is going to do something revolutionary or not?
I think Francis is already doing more revolutionary things than Popes have in a while. Or at least since JP2.
Well, but I'm not impressed with just talking or just, you know, releasing some kind of statement about how, well, we need to be more tolerant of X, Y, and Z. I mean, that's not... Who cares about that? I mean, if you're not actually changing things, if you're not actually saying, we're going to have a different stance on this than we used to, I don't see why that's so impressive.
Well, I believe the argument is that the Pope saying his opinion is essentially saying the Church is going to have a different stance because the Pope's beliefs are the Church's stance.
I realize that, but the Pope has a lot of different ways he can communicate to the Church that don't always equal...
English, Latin.
No, that Italian. Don't always equal a change in policies and things like
You're
that.
You're right.
You know, that he can issue a kind of an opinion. He can issue a stronger opinion. He can suggest...
It's like the UN.
You know, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of...
Until he starts bringing in troops to be more tolerant of gays. Fuck it.
There's a lot of levels of him expressing what he wants and things.
I will say this. I don't think at any point is this Pope going to do anything that's going to make me want to sit down and have a beer with him. But I think he may be my favorite pope in a while. Huh. That's a low bar.
Yeah.
That's a really low bar.
I was
going
to ask about that.
He's still a pope.
Well, now, don't be so hard on all the popes. I mean...
I've been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed, so...
I mean, there are a lot of popes...
Popes are fucked up.
There are a lot of popes I'm not a fan of course. But there are a lot of popes that are perfectly nice guys.
Next week, we're going to go through William's top 5 favorite popes.
I don't
but
have
we're
any,
out of time now.
I don't have any favorite popes.
If you have a favorite pope or a least favorite pope,
I have some least favorite popes
on
probably,
the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com.
The rest of them I can take or leave. But they're not bad really people. You shouldn't be so mean.
William has a complicated relationship with popes.
What? Why do you hate popes? You seem to have a hate thing about popes.
Popes killed my parents.
I mean, there are some bad ones, don't get me wrong, but there are some that they're okay.
A pope once accused me of giving him a $10 bill and pretending it was a $20. And there's several other jokes I'm not going to use. Anyway, folks, go to the blog, make your voice heard, like ours, but in a different way. Everyone's a podcaster in their own way.
And thanks, Mark, for your questions.
Thanks, Mark, and...
Mark. Yeah. Mark 2.
Yes. Ah! That's it. We'll talk to you people next week.
Yep.
All right. Everyone's podcast. You and you and mostly us and you.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.